Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama Ayin Gimel. We're on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. We're at the two dots. We're starting with the words Tanan with a Mishnah, but let's just do a little bit of recap. Let's do a little bit of review, as most of today's daf is all going to be revolving around what we did yesterday, and that is whether or not we go back Limma Freya. Okay, so once again, let's make our timeline. Okay, our timeline is going to start at T1, and then it's going to go to T2. We need two significant points on the timeline. As far as T1 is concerned, the first significant point on the timeline, so the witness is testifying. To whatever they testified, it doesn't matter. And after the testify was provided 6 months later, I know I'm making it dramatic when I say 6 months later, but that's Rashi's assertion that we're half a year later and discovery. What happens is that 6 months later, so we have a second set of witnesses who come and say, you know what happened at T1? Do you know what happened 6 months earlier? I'll tell you what happened. And that is, Yiman Ha'is and Mabmakam Ploni, they were with us at the time. They could not have possibly seen what they alleged they saw, and their testimony cannot possibly be credible simply because they weren't there. They were with us, Yiman Ha'is and Mabmakam Ploni. Now, we know that when it comes to Edom Zomimim, so the Torah provides for us a chiddush, a tremendous chiddush, which is that I have 2v2, I have two witnesses against another two witnesses, and what happens now is that I believe one over the other. Normally, and this is a tease for the end of today's daf. Normally, when I have 2v2, so what do? I don't know who to believe. They're saying this, they're saying that. So you know what we do? We take all the edus and we throw it out. So this is what's called edim hamachishim. They're just simply at odds with one another. So that's normally what happens when I have 2v2. However, when the second set of witnesses are not challenging the testimony, but rather they're challenging the witness's ability to testify, i.e. they were with us at the time, Imanu Ayisim of Makom Ploni. So now what we're going to do, what the Torah tells us to do, is to accept the testimony of the Mazimim, and therefore discredit the testimony of the Edom Zomimim. So far, so good. Everything we said right now is just simply ABC. It's basic. Now, here's where it goes beyond basic. And that is that now we're going to be discrediting the second set of witnesses, and we're going to go how far back? Are we going to go back to the point of discovery, which is T2? Or are we going to go all the way back to the point of where they actually testified, T1? Now, as I pointed out yesterday, as we started the sugya yesterday, it's going to be a machlokes between Abai and Rava. But before even introducing ourselves to the positions of Abai and Rava, I pointed out yesterday, what is the most logical position to take? What's mistaber? To go back to T1, obviously. Going back to T1 makes the most sense because when did they provide their false testimony? Back at T1. We didn't know about it until 6 months later. But it doesn't matter we didn't know about it. They were liars already by T1. Ready to go to court and submit false testimony already at T1. And we discovered it 6 months later. Who cares if we discovered it 6 months later? So really, the most logical position is to go back to T1 and discredit them all the way back at T1. Good. Now, what we were introduced to yesterday is the machlokus between Abai and Rava. I hope you're wondering, by the way, aren't we learning Baba Kama? What are we doing over here? Edom Zomimim, T1, T2? Okay, so the connection between the Machlokas, Abai and Rava, and Baba Kama, so that's coming up a little bit later this morning, in a couple minutes from now. But anyway, so it's Machlokas between Abai and Rava. Now, as far as Shitas Abai is concerned, so Abai says, Lemafreyahu Nifsa, we go back to T1. We go back retroactive to the time in which they lied. Okay, and it's going to be a hassle. Doesn't matter. According to Abai, we go back to T1, it's Lima Freya. We go back retroactively. And meanwhile, a Rava says we don't go back retroactively. Rava says we go back to the point of discovery. And discovery occurs 6 months later, and they're only possible from T2 going forward. But we do not go back to T1. Now, why don't we go back to T1? So if you recall, if you remember in yesterday's daf, we gave not one, but two different suggestions for Rava. Number one, suggestion number one for Rava. Why don't we go back to T1? So because Edom Zomimim is a chiddush, and Ein Bo Ela Michidusha Ve'Elech. The idea that we are going to give more credibility to the Edom Hamazimim over the Edom Zomimim, that is a novel concept, as we just got done explaining. And so therefore it's a chiddush, and so you know what happens when the Torah provides a chiddush? So let's minimize, let's limit it. In other words, already at this point in time, we're standing in very, very rarefied air. This idea, we believe the second over the first, you know what? Let's limit, let's cap the chiddush. And so therefore, the disqualification will only go from T2 going forward, and it will not go back to T1. That's one possibility. And the other possibility is buyer protection. And that is that for the last 6 months, these witnesses have been testifying, not just in criminal cases, but also in commerce, in simple civil cases, meaning maybe they signed on to contracts of sale. And now what's going to happen now is that if we're going to have to go back and revisit all the testimony that they give over the last 6 months, so what's going to happen is there's a lot of people who are just simply buying property, not doing anything wrong, just buying property. So all these people now are going to have to be divested of the property that they purchased. Oh, I'm sorry, we're going to take that away from you. Why in the world are you taking it away from me? Well, you know, the witnesses that you use who signed a new document, well, we've discovered that they're no good. Okay, but in other words, but I bought the property and whatever. And I can dramatize. But in other words, don't take the properties away from me. I just bought a property. And I know I didn't know at the time that the witness was no good. And it wasn't, nobody knew he was no good at the time. And now you're going to take the property away from me? So as I mentioned yesterday, and I'll repeat again today, the Chachamim do a lot of things to protect buyers, right? This idea of Seder DeLekuchos, of buyer protection, right? It's not a new idea, right? Even in today's day and age and the American law. So there are a lot of things that are done to protect buyer's protection. So back with Zman HaGemara also, Chachamim were interested in protecting buyers. And so therefore, even though, of course, it makes sense to go back to T1 and discredit them from T1. But at the same time, however, in service of protecting the buyers, we're only going to disqualify them from T2 going forward. That's the other explanation of Rava. And at the end of yesterday's daf, what do we do? So the nafkamin, is there going to be practical differences, whether I'm going to go with the idea that limit the chiddush, cap the chiddush, or we're going to go with the idea of protecting the buyers. Now, all that became an academic point. Why? I mean, when I say academic, by the way, it's Torah. But in other words, all that became a more of an abstract point and not a practical point, because we paskin like Abaye. Meaning, and this is where we concluded with yesterday. And the Gemara just, in other words, even though most of today's daf, we're going to be discussing this further, but when all said and done, we paskin like Abaye. So why? Just one more second. I'm almost done with the intro, right? Talk about an intro. So 10 minutes of intro. So it's a short daf today. And why do we paskin like Abaye? So I don't. In other words, that's for the Gemara to decide. It's not for me to decide. But in other words, but as I pointed out, it really does make the most sense. Meaning they lied at T1. Granted, we only discovered them at a later point in time. But in other words, when did they submit their false testimony back at T1? The Gemara says this is one of the six occasions throughout Chas that we paskin like Abaye. Anytime there are machlokes between Abaye and Rava, I would love to provide the number right now of how many machlokes there are between Abaye and Rava. I'll say comfortably there are dozens of machlokes in Chas. How many dozens? I don't know. But in other words, there are lots of machlokes in Chas. 6 times we paskin like Abaye. That means that all the other times we paskin like Rava, this is one of the six.
So according to Abaye, all the shtolos that were written in between for the buyers, it's known.
According to the halacha, now we're going to go back and we're going to have to relitigate everything. Yeah. Everything. What? Correct. Yeah.
No.
Going to create havoc.
Yes. Yes.
Once you retroactively disqualify the two witnesses, do they have to have witness together at the same time? Or could it be if one of them was a witness?
Is it no, Adam Zomimim, the Adam Zomimim is only when they are both testifying together.
So if one of them was a witness on a separate issue, he's not disqualified?
No. So in other words, what Ben's asking is now, any time between T1 and T2, do they have to be in conjunction together in order to disqualify? Presumably the answer is no. But I'm just thinking out loud. Presumably the answer would be no. Meaning that now because we are disqualifying them retroactively, so that means that each one of them now is DQ'd. So even now if they participate in another case with another witness, that individual who was part of the original case is DQ'd. So now you're going to have to deduct him, and you're left only with one witness. One witness is insufficient. Okay. Okay.
It's not such a great question, because as you said, they're testifying on facts, and the Edim are testifying on Edim, so right. It's not really such a great
chiddush. I hear you. But the lashon of the Gemara every time Edim Zomimim, it's a chiddush. Meaning just, I understand, I'm explaining the Chiddush, right. I'm helping us all digest and understand and process the Chiddush, but the Gemara says it's a Chiddush. In other words, yeah? Okay, good. Yes.
All of these witnesses were non-evidentiary. They didn't damage anything.
Right. In other words, correct. In other words, they were just simply part of a transaction.
What would have happened if they had been evidentiary witnesses and damage had been done?
Meaning everything will have to be undone. Everything is going to have to be undone, the chips are going to land wherever they land.
You do go back.
In other words, according to Abai, we're going to go back and we're going to now go. We're going to have to deal with all the testimony that they give.
You're saying if they sign the divorce, she's still married to husband number one.
I think that's straightforward. Right.
And she's now married.
In other words, right? Correct. Correct. In other words, part of Rava. I think we're starting to all see and understand. By the way, that part of Rava's cheshbon is that for us to go and revisit everything is going to be complicated. And right, and all we're doing over here at this table, we're doing good. In other words, we're just speaking it out how complicated things can get. It can get really complicated. Good. So that's Rava. But meanwhile, Abai will tell you that, okay, look, it's complicated, but that's what happens. We go back to Lamafreya. Now, with all that stated, now we're on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, and we're starting today's daf, and it's good that we already got a head start. So now we go back to our Mishnah, because now what we're going to do is that we're going to litigate. And I know it's a little bit unusual, by the way. The Gemara, it happens, I can just think of a couple of times in Shas. What's it called? I don't have fluency in Shas. But in other words, I could think of a couple of times where the Gemara told us what the Pesach is, and then the Gemara afterwards goes back and forth. Okay. But this, I'm just admitting, it's a little bit strange. In other words, the Gemara now is going to do its classic back and forth after having told us, oh, by the way, the Halacha is like Abaye. So as much as we are going to do what we normally do in the Gemara, in the Talmud Bavli, and that is we're going to see a Mishnah, we're going to analyze, go over the Mishnah. Hey, it sounds like Abaye, it sounds like Rava. You know, we're going to do what we classically do, but when all said and done, we know the answer, right? To the question of who do we paschal like, we know the answer. Okay, good. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah. Okay, so I have witnesses, and what did they do? They testified about the theft. They then testified about the Tzvicha Mechira. So, and it's the same set of witnesses. And then they were proven to be Zomimim. So what do? They pay 5x. Good. We saw this in yesterday's Mishnah, meaning what do we do to the Edom? Zomimim, Kasher, Zomam, whatever they conspire to do. So they wanted this person with their testimony to pay 5x, five times the amount. That's the Knas of Dal Vehei. Obviously, we're going to the max, right? We're looking at the Hay. So over here, so their conspiracy was to have someone pay 5x. They're discovered to be Edom Zomimim. They pay 5x. Good. That's the Mishnah. Now the analysis. So my love, Sheidu ala Gneva v'chaz v'eidu ala Tficha. So the Gemara says, so can't it be? Can we make the suggestion that here's what happened? And that is that they testified about the theft. And then afterwards they testified about the Shechita. And v'huzma ala Gneva v'chaz v'huzma ala Tficha. And now what they did is they were discovered to be Zomimim on the Geneva, followed subsequently to be Zomimim on the Tvicha. And now let's say like Abaye. And that is we're going to go back retroactively. So Hani came to Zamalu Ageneva, Tvicha. So if we're going to go back retroactively, so here's the problem we're going to encounter. Okay? And I admit that the Gemara over here is a little bit complicated. It's a little bit, but it's not, whatever. It's digestible. Just, you know, you got to chew on it a little bit. So, and here's the problem. If we're going to go back retroactively, so what happened? So I have my witnesses who first testified about the theft, and then they testified about the Shechita. Now, obviously, that was the sequence of events. Meaning, if it happened, now it happens to be their Edom Zomim, it may never happen. But if it happened, though, that has to be the sequence of events. It has to be first they stole, first the Gan of stole, and then afterwards he shechted it, obviously. Okay. But the point now becomes the following. If, let's say, we do go back to Lamafreya, so what are we going to now undo? We're undoing testimony number one, which is that he stole. Now that we no longer have a theft. If we no longer have a theft, so now the testimony regarding Shechita, was that significant or insignificant? Insignificant. All you're doing is simply saying that he shechted. Okay, great. Great. In other words, but he never stole. So when you have a Shechita that is untethered to the Eidus of Geneva, so at that point in time, that Eidus becomes insignificant. So now, why pay 5x? If anything, all you're going to be doing is paying 2x, and meanwhile, the Mishnah says you pay 5x. So if we went back Lemafreya, this is the problem that we're encountering. Amrei. So the Gemara says, okay, well, maybe what happened was is that you were mazim them first on the shechting, and then afterwards you were mazim them on the theft. So the Gemara says, okay, but even if their first testimony was on the Shechita, doesn't matter. Once we go back Lamafreya, so now again, what we keep doing is that we have to go, if you subscribe to Abaye, and if you go back Lamafreya, we're always going to go back to the testimony of the theft. Because that's the first event that occurred. Even though when the witnesses came to court, they may have testified about it afterwards, but it don't matter. Meaning, ultimately, when you go back Lamafreya, you go all the way back to the time where they are claiming they saw. They've obviously first saw, we're putting it in quotes, they first saw the theft. Now, once that's undone, the tficha now becomes insignificant. And Rashi over here says, then don't read it v'huzmo v'vasachas, but rather v'huzmo. Okay, so the Gemara says, I'll tell you the case of the Mishnah. Meaning, the dilemma is the following. How do you subscribe to the idea of a mafreya? And how are the Adam Zomimim ever going to be paying 5x? Because once I go back to mafreya, I have to, by definition, undo the theft, which then makes the tvicha insignificant. And so at most, you're going to be paying 2x, not 5x. That's the question. And again, I'm admitting, I know that's hard to, that is a bit challenging, but that's the question. And the Gemara's response is, I'll tell you how it's going to work out. It'll work out in a situation where the testimony all came together. Meaning, obviously, the events, again, events are in quotes, because they're Edom Zomimim, there were no events. But at least the theoretical events that occurred were, first you stole, then you shechted. Good. Now, when the witnesses came to court, so what did they do? They testified to all that at one time. So now when we go back, Lemafreya, so where do we go back? We go back to the testimony. Meaning, even in the Lemafreya position of going retroactive, we go back retroactive to the testimony. At the testimony, what is occurring? I'll tell you what's occurring. You're testifying about the Geneva, and immediately afterwards he says, but wait, there's more. In other words, not only did he steal, but he also shechted. And all that was recorded together, all that was testified together, and so now, when they're discovered to be Edom Zomimim, now they're going to be paying 5x. Don't we go back retroactively? Yes, but retroactive to the testimony, which was all provided by Bevas Achas. Lema Ketanai, Ein Gemel Amud Aleph, halfway down in the Amud, and the Gemara now wants to suggest Machlokis HaTanayim, meaning that whether or not we go back Lemafreya or whether we go back to the time where they were discovered, do we go back to T1, that's Lemafreya, or do we go to T2, the point of discovery where they're discovered to be Edom Zomimim, the Gemara is now going to suggest that this is really a Machlokis HaTanayim. So this part also is going to be a little bit complicated. Because what we're going to do together, I'll lay out the game plan, right? Because this really will take up pretty much the remainder of today's daf, right? I don't think I really want to start the hachasha turning into hazama. I think I'll leave that for tomorrow. Anyway, so the game plan is as follows. We're going to quote a brisa. The brisa is going to record a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi. And it's going to be vague. It's going to be ambiguous exactly what they're arguing about. And the Gemara is going to suggest that what they're arguing about is whether or not we go back Lamafreya, or whether we go back to the point of discovery. And that's going to at least be the proposed machlokus between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi. And then you know how all this is going to end up. The Gemara is going to end up saying, no, that's not the machlokus. The machlokus is predicated on a different issue. Okay. That's it. That's what we're going to do. Let's now do it inside. So lema ketanai hayushnai midimoso shiganav. So two are testifying that he stole. Vehein midimoso shetavach, and those same witnesses also testify that he shechted as well. Vehuzma lagneva edush about lemekses about lakula. So if they were huzam dan the gneva, so that's it. The entire testimony now gets undone. It gets unraveled, right? Because in other words, without having stolen, so then the tzvicha becomes insignificant. Huzma tzvicha hu misham tashu mekevel and hein misham tashu mishlosha. If, however, the only thing that gets unraveled and undone is their testimony regarding tzvicha, so now they were huzam dan the tzvicha. So now the witnesses themselves are going to be paying 3x, and the thief, because remember their testimony regarding the theft, so that wasn't undone, and so therefore that still stands. So the testimony on the Geneva is still going to be in effect, which means the Ganav is going to be paying 2x, and they, the Edom Zomim, are going to be paying 3x. Good. That's the Tanakhama. And Amr Rabbi Yossi ben Medrar, Mamorim B'shei Edios. Yeah, that's only if I can go ahead and divide the testimonies, right? Literally, shtei edios, two testimonies. However, if let's say it is a single edus, I'm using ambiguous terminology by design, because Rav Yossi is being ambiguous. So therefore, right now, I'm just reflecting that ambiguity. However, if it's edus achas, so then we say edus about lemiksas about lakula. So once you compromise one part of the Aedus, you're going to be compromising all the Aedus. Okay.
You want me to
We are just looking at right now whether or not the Aedim who've been challenged about their testimony, whether they are in fact Aedim Zomimim, yes or no. And whether or not we say that the once they have been discredited on part A, are they also going to get discredited on part B as well? Or once they get discredited on part B, are they going to get discredited on part A as well? That's what we're litigating right now. According to the Tanakhama, you could discredit them on part B, but their part A is still going to stand. And according to Rav Yossi, well, it depends. If A and B are two separate testimonies, fine. But if A and B are tethered together, so then no. Once discredited on B, they're also going to get discredited on A as well. Okay. And by design, it's ambiguous. Now, my shtei edios, my edus achas. So the Gemara says, okay, now I'd like to understand a little bit better. What exactly is happening over here? What does that mean that it's a single grouping versus two separate testimonies? And maybe you'll tell me that it's very simple. In other words, maybe when we say two, it means two sets of witnesses. And maybe we mean one. We mean one set of witnesses, and that one set is testifying both on the Geneva and on the Tzvicha. So I'm Rav Yossi, Eidos Achaz, Kas Achaz, Ze Achaz, Ki Mesade Geneva, Vade Mesade Tzvicha, Ki Mezame Tzvicha. So now what Rabbi Yossi will tell you is that if it's one set of witnesses and they were mazim them on one, so by definition you're going to be mazim them on the other as well. But to which the Gemara says, and who told you that that's in fact so? Meaning that even if it's one set of witnesses, they came and they submitted testimony about theft. Then they also came in and they submitted testimony about tvicha, about shechting. And now, and again, by the way, it's the same set of witnesses, but they are submitting two series of testimonies. And then they were undone regarding tvicha. So what, the Gemara says? In other words, even according to Rav Yossi, so why do we necessarily have to link the two together? Why are they tethered? The Gemara says, I don't understand. In other words, those were two different testimonies that were submitted. I was by the same group. Who cares? So Elalav Shtei Edios Beidazachas Kein Shtei Edios Mainiu Kazachas Bezachas Zeh Aval Beidazachas Bevasachas lo. So the Gemara says like this. So it must be the following, and that is that shtei edus and edus achas, it's all talking about one group. It's all talking about one set of witnesses. And now, when does it become tethered? When does it become untethered? So tethering and untethering is all going to be a function of when they walked into court. How many times did they walk into court to testify? Shtei edus means that they came in on two separate occasions, right? So in other words, they came in on day one. Again, I'm dramatizing over here. They came in on day one and said, you see that guy over there? He stole. Okay. They came in on day two and they said, you see that guy over there? After he stole, he shechted. That's shtei edios, being provided by the same group of witnesses. As opposed to edos achas, where it's one set of witnesses and they're submitting all their testimony together. We are here to testify that that guy over there, he stole and he shechted. Okay. Now, Savrua, so far so good. So at least now we know what the case is. What are they arguing about? Next step of the Gemara. So now that we know that they submitted their testimony in one sitting in front of court, we're also right now going to assume that Toch de Dibra Kedibra Dami, the fact that these two testimonies are provided in one sitting, so now because they were done within a certain time frame, one or the other, so therefore it's unified. It's toch, that's the idea of toch de dibor. Now, toch de dibor is maybe 2 seconds, maybe. So when we're talking about the unification of testimony, right, I've made this point, I've clarified this point in the past. It just simply means that the second testimony started within toch de dibor, the first testimony. Okay. Obviously, they're not able to provide all that testimony within a 2 second window, obviously. So anyway. So tokadei dibra kadibra dami. So my labakim afigid the rabban and savrei mikano labahu nifsal kevin de meyei shaita kamizame atzvicha de kamizame itzum agnevel amizame lo itzum. So and now with all that stated, what's the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi? So the Gemara now advances the following possibility. According to the Tanakhama, now even though they issued their testimony all together, linked by Tokid de Dibor, maybe what the Tanakhama will say is, look, if they were discovered to be Adam Zomemem on the Tvicha, we only go from T2. And that's it. And we don't go back to T1. And since we only are going to be starting disqualification from T2 moving forward, and we don't go backwards to T1, so therefore they're discrediting, their Hazama is only going to be on the Tzvicha, and not going back to the Geneva. And meanwhile, the Rabbi Yossi Sarvala Mafreyahu Nifsa, the Kevin Demiyaki Asiduhu Demifsaleki Zimalua Tzvicha, Itzulam Nami Agdeva Da Tok Dibra Kedibra Dami. And what Rabbi Yossi will tell you is that, no, we go back to Mafreya. Mafreya takes us back to T1. What is T1? The time they stepped into court to testify. Now, if we're going back to T1, and we're going back to the time of the court in which they testified, so now what happened at that testimony? I'll tell you what happened at that testimony. They issued two testimonies back to back at the same time. Tokadei Dibor tells us that they're all linked together. So once we have to discredit part of it, we're going to be discrediting all of it. Okay. So this is now the suggestion of the Gemara. It's really, you know, the Gemara doesn't need me to say this, but it's really smart. Just 1 second. Just before asking any other variable. Just to work on this particular point, which already as it is, stands to be pretty complicated. So right now, what the Gemara is proposing is that this is the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi in terms of what are the dynamics, what are the mechanics of revisiting and going backwards in time to disqualify. And the proposal of the Gemara is, I'm just saying it one more time for purposes of clarity, is that according to the Tanakhama, when we don't go back, meaning, look, they were proven to be Adam Zomemim. And from this point going forward, we're going to disqualify them. But meaning from the point of discovery. And what was the only thing that occurred at discovery? When they testified about the Shechita, so they couldn't because Imanu Ayisim, they were with us at the time. But in other words, we're not going to go back to the point where they actually testified. Because if we were to do that, so then we would have to undo the whole thing. But we're not. We're only going to go back to the point of discovery. And therefore, they're only going to be pasul on the tficha and nothing more than that. That would be the Tanakama. And meanwhile, according to Rav Yossi, no. Rav Yossi will tell us we're going to go all the way back to the point of T1, of their actually testifying. And there, they testified about the Gneva, about the Tricha. They did it in Tokhide Dibor. So now, once we undo part of it, we have to undo all of it. And we have to, and the Hazama now is going to go on all of it. That is right now the proposal of the Gemara, of the Machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Yossi. Okay. Amrei. So in the yeshiva, they thought about it, and they said, interesting? No. But interesting. Certainly interesting. So, so the Gemara says, no. In the yeshiva, they said, we're going to go back to Lamafreya. If Toki de Dibor is Kedibor Dami, we're going to go back to Lamafreya, meaning we're going to be on Team Abaye. We're going to go back to the point of testimony, and if you subscribe to Tochi de Dibor, all that testimony is going to be linked together. And once they were proven to be a muzam done part of it, they're going to be muzam done all of it. Elahacha betochi de Dibor kedibor dami kemiflegi. Rabbanim savre tochi de Dibor lav kedibor dami. And Rav Yossi savre tochi de Dibor kedibor dami. And so over here, you know what's that issue as to whether or not tochi de Dibor is kedibor dami, meaning are these testimonies tethered or untethered to one another? And what the Gemara now is proposing is that according to the Tanakhama, Toki Dibor is lav kidibor dami. In other words, these testimonies are in fact untethered to one another. Even though they were said within a time span one of the other, nevertheless, they are two independent testimonies. We're going to go back to the testimony and we're going to go ahead and discredit them. But again, the Edom HaMazim, I'm only discredited on the Tvicha. How could you have testified about the Shechting? You were with us at the time. So now we're going to go all the way back to the testimony, but only undo the testimony on Tvicha. What about the theft? Well, on that was a separate testimony. It was said, B'tochi de Dibor, Tanakhama will tell you, I don't subscribe to that. Tochi de Dibor is lav kedibor dami. Right? It's funny, by the way, before entering in today's daf, did anyone ever subscribe to this idea of Tochi de Dibor not being kedibor? So yes, the answer now comes out from today's daf. Yes, the answer is yes. So and Rabbi Yossi is of the position that Tochi Dibor is kidibor dame. Now that means that the testimony that was provided, we're going back to the testimony. Everyone takes us back retroactive to the time of testimony. We're going back to the testimony. They were proven to be liars about the tvicha, and now it was attached to the other testimony. So now it's going to corrupt all their testimony, and now they're going to be proven to be zomimim on all the testimony offered. Okay, now on this proposal, the Gemara now has a really technical point, and that is v'savar of Yossi toka de Dibor kedibor dami v'atanan. So the Gemara says, consider the following, and that is a Mishnah. Harezu tamur olo tamur shlamim. So should you make a tamura? The answer is no. And what if you make a tamura? It works. What is a tamura? A carbon copy. Okay, that is my dad joke that I've been using for years. Okay, if you got it, great, and if you're not into dad jokes, I apologize. So anyway, but basically what you want to do is you want to replicate a carbon, right? You want to go ahead and, well, really what you want to do is you want to exchange the Kedusha from one carbon to another. So the Torah says, don't do it. Don't do it. So, but meanwhile, if you do it, it works, right? Okay, I don't think I did good by citing the pasuk. I did it by heart. That was a mistake. Anyway, but doesn't matter. So you're replicating a carbon. Now, replication of carbon means that if it's an ola, so then the animal I'm looking now to replicate is also going to be an ola. Okay, now what if I do something confusing like I raise a tumurus ola and tumurus shlamim? So I now make this an ola shlamim, meaning I have two carbonos. I have an ola and I have a shlamim. I turn to one animal and I invest it with the kedushas of ola and shlamim. Now, you of course can't do that. A carbon is either going to be an ola or it's going to be a shlamim. It can't be both. So, Zutamuris Ola Div Rebbe Meir. So, Rebbe Meir says, Tfos Lashon Rishon. What came out of your mouth first is Ola, therefore it's an Ola. Good. And Rabbi Yossi, Amrim Lakachnis Kavim Mitchila, Hoviev Shalikro Shte Shamas Kachat Vrav Kayamim. Now, Rabbi Yossi will tell you that it really is an Ola Shlamim. And see Rashi over here, and see the Gemara and Tamura for a lengthy discussion in terms of what do you do now when it's a hybrid of being an Ola and a Shlamim. Not for now. right? The point that we need to focus on right now is the next part. If, on the other hand, however, you say, really, it's a Tamuris Ola. And then you thought about it, you know what? I changed my mind. And now what I want to do is, I want to make it a Tamuris Shlamim. So Nimlach, so it's too late. Once, the Gemara is going to address your very question. Once I've established it's a Tamuris Ola, that's it, it's a Tamuris Ola. Now, Havina ba nimlach pshita, amra papa nimlach betoke de diber kamrinan. So our papa will tell you that, look, changing your mind, you can't change your mind. If we're after toke de diber, so mazel tov, I knew that already, right? In other words, I declared it to be a tamur sola, and then an hour later, a day later, or even 5 minutes later, I changed my mind. That's unfortunate. In other words, it is an ola. That's it. You can't undo it. And I don't need a Tana, a Brisa, a Mishnah to teach me that. So Amrei, v'Amrei Papa Nimlach Toke De Dibor Kamrinan. Ah, so before I get to the Amrei, Amrei is already the answer. So the way Rav Papa addresses it is that, you know what it is? It's that I changed my mind within Toke De Dibor. And what Rav Yossi is being Mechadesh is that even though you change your mind within Toke De Dibor, too late. So now what comes out now is that according to Rav Yossi, as explained by Rav Papa, you change your mind. Perfect. You're right. You change your mind within Toke De Dibor and it doesn't work. Now you were trying to assert that according to Rav Yossi, Toke De Dibor is Kid Dibor Dami, which means that you have the ability to self-edit. Right? That's the basic idea of Toke De Dibor. Meaning here I am saying something and you know what? Give me a moment to think about what I said, process what I said. No. I know I'm editing myself. It's a zchus chazara. That's how they say it in the yeshivas. So in other words, you're editing. You have the right and the ability to edit what comes out of your mouth within a certain period of time, right? In other words, all of us as we speak, so we're all buffering, yeah, right? Unfortunately or fortunately, you listen to me a lot, so you're going to hear it a lot when I'm speaking, right? I'm buffering, and sometimes I'm going to say something, and sometimes I'm going to be like, oh no, I didn't mean that. And immediately afterwards, I edit. So that is Toke De Dibor. And over here now, the way Rav Papa is explaining it is that you were Nimlach in Toke De Dibor, and Rav Yossi will still say it's too late. Well, you just moments earlier told me that in order to explain the sheet of Rav Yossi, well, it's Toke De Dibor, and therefore you have the ability to edit. So where are we in Rav Yossi? So Amri, so in the yeshivas, here's how they say it. So they say, Trey, Toke De Dibor have a... You know, there's Toke De Dibor, and then there's Toke De Dibor. Okay, good. Depends. So, Kedei Sheilas Tamad L'Rav. I'm sorry. So, Chad, Kedei Sheilas Tamad L'Rav, and Chad, Kedei Sheilas Arav L'Tamad. So, it depends who's extending greetings to whom. Okay, there's my good grammar for today. So, Ki Leis Leira L'Rav Yossi, Kedei Sheilas Tamad L'Rav, Shama Lecha Rebbe Umori. You know, on the longer version of Toke De Dibor, where you say, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Omori, that is four words. Or those are four words. Just trying to work on good grammar. So those are four words. The Nafish. So there, that's an extended Toke De Dibor. There, Rav Yossi will tell you that no. You don't have four-word editing power. That's too much. But Kedei Sheilas Harav L'Talmid, Shalom Alecha Islay. But in other words, when the Rav says Shalom Aleichem to the Rebbe, when the Rav says Shalom Aleichem to the Talmud, right, there I am just editing in explaining Toke De Dibor. So Shalom Alecha, so Islay. On that he does have. Meaning on two-word editing power, that you could do. So if you're gonna self-edit within a two-word window, so that you're allowed to do. Within a four-word window, that's too much self-editing. That it doesn't allow. So when Rav Yossi says Nimlach and Toke De Dibor, so and he says it doesn't work, that's within the four-word window. That it doesn't work. But within the two-word window, that it does work. Those are the two different types of Toke De Dibors of Rav Yossi. Okay, and this is where we're going to pause. Yeah, good. That's the... That's the musr, the musr for today. Okay, let's recap. Let's quickly review. Okay, it was really one topic for today, and one topic only, and that is that when we go ahead and we postulate him, zomim him, so there are two options are we can postulate them from the point of discovery, or we go back to the time where they actually testified, falsely testified. So this is a machlokes between Abaye and Rava, which we were introduced to in yesterday's daf. That's part one of the daf. That was really, and we did it yesterday, but that's really the starting point, the launching pad, of if you will, of today's daf. And the remainder of today's daf is this machlokes between Abaye and Rava. So maybe it's a machlokes tanaim. And we introduced ourselves today to a machlokes between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi. Really unclear in terms of what they're arguing about. But in other words, but on witnesses, on one set of witnesses who testified to the theft and to the tficha of an animal, so under what circumstances are they, the Adam Zomim, are going to be paying 5x? When are they going to be paying only 3x? And the Ganav is going to be paying 2x? Like, how is all that going to work? So we have a machlokas, and we try to give voice of what they're arguing about, at least for a moment, at the bottom of Ein Gimel Amud Aleph. We thought that this mamash is what they're arguing. The nekuda machlokas is whether or not we go back l'mafreya to the time that they actually testified, like Abaye, or do we only go back to the point of discovery, like Rava. That's the machlokas between Tanakam and Rav Yossi. And the Gemara, taking us to Ein Gimel Amud Beis, says, nah, that's not what they're arguing about. They're arguing about Tokid de Dibor. Good. Adka.